Science Week in association with Irish Water, promoting green schools, the Irish Water Stewardship Programme for businesses, and what listeners can do to conserve water and act more sustainably.
Yes, indeed, it is Science Week, running from the 13th of November to the 20th. It runs every year since 1995. It's a week-long event supported by the Science Foundation of Ireland and aims to promote the benefits of learning about science. It's also in partnership with Irish Water. I'm delighted to say that on the line is Geoffrey Burke, Business Operations Manager in the Customer Operations Team with Irish Water. Good morning to you, Geoffrey, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
No problem at all. Delighted to do so. You might tell us a little bit, first of all, about Science Week and how Irish Water are involved here.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Irish Water is delighted to be involved in Science Week again. We have many of our staff, and it's a key part for our overall organisation. Our own scientists were participating in several nationwide events, really trying to highlight the empowering and innovative work that they do and that Irish Water does on a regular and a daily basis in the fields of sustainability, biodiversity, you know, drinking water and compliance to drinking water, and really environmental issues, environmental regulation. So, it's something that we're very excited to get involved with.
From your own point of view then, as Business Operations Manager at the Customer Operations Team, what kind of work would you do with Irish Water?
Sure. So, yeah, as you said, I'm in the Customer Operations Team. And in the Customer Operations Team, we are the kind of the first point of contact for our customers. If they need to speak to Irish Water, somebody in Irish Water, maybe in relation to the water services, the main way that our customers contact us is by ringing us at our telephone at 1-800-278-278. If anybody ever needs to ring, that's the number, 1-800-278-278. And they can also visit our website, which has a lot of very interesting and useful information, and that's www.water.ie. That's water.ie. And that's what a lot of our customers travel to as well, the website. You know, they can get a view of the water services in their area. And actually, it's possible localization on our website so that people can go to their own locale on the website anytime they use it. Really, as we're talking about sustainability, there's loads of information in relation to water conservation and maybe how to reduce your water usage in the home and also in your business. We've some really useful section there that covers the tips and tricks that people can undertake to save water. We also have a water calculator, which is a new capability that we brought in. It's proven to be very very useful and interesting for our customers. It identifies how good an individual household is at saving water, and maybe some additional suggestions on how to maybe further reduce water. You can find out about reporting leaks and how to maybe, if you're eligible, to get our first fix for leak scheme, where you can get a free leak investigation and potentially a leak fix as well. So, there's loads of information on our website, water.ie, if any of your listeners be interested to find out more.
You mentioned a word there, and just to pick up on it, sustainability and the likes of conservation as well. I know you're heavily involved with the Green Schools initiative. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, look, the Green Schools, it's a super initiative. The mission the Green Schools has is to protect our planet, simply put. And it's a kind of long-term whole school action for the environment. And it is a student-led program as well. We work very closely with Antashka on it. We're this year actually celebrating our 10th year of our sponsorship of the Green Schools, Green Schools Award. So it's a super initiative. I know from Kildare, we've had a lot of great schools over the years involved in Green Schools. And as I mentioned, that involves the schools themselves, the teachers, the pupils, and the local communities, and all in putting the Green School agenda forward. As I mentioned, Kildare, I think there were 79 schools involved over, and that's kind of between primary and secondary school over the last 10 years, and over 29,000 students in Kildare. That's all in Kildare, which is amazing. Over the years in achieving the water flags. And maybe even just to mention, I know Kildare, one particular school got into a finalist for the National Awards, Pipers Hill College in Naas County Kildare, which is about 1,000 students and 85.
The school I went to, actually, staff. Believe it or not, Geoffrey.
Pardon?
That's
really?
School I went to, yeah.
Brilliant. So, yeah, look, they really made great efforts and strides. They did a large committee with students from from all year groups involved in working on, and they divided into different teams, like litter team, energy team, water team. And water, as we know, is a precious resource. So they did some really excellent awareness, development of water conservation and water conservation issues. They undertook a water survey. They looked into the water pressure in their taps and water fountains within the school, conducted surveys and questionnaires, and looked into the possibilities of rainwater harvesting around the school. Carried out kind of a beach and clean-up, and they did their own Walk for Water event in as well as part of it. And I think there was quizzes that, like, it's super and really innovative ideas coming out of your alma mater there, Owen. Very good.
Very good. Delighted to hear that. And I know that, you know, they always had a great history of trying to do that sort of stuff, and they're not the only school. Obviously, you mentioned 79 that are involved in
just in Kildare.
The Green Schools initiative around the county, which is brilliant. Science Week, then, how is sustainability, conservation, biodiversity and science all linked together? Because it is quite a broad spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think for many of us and many of your listeners, really sustainability and conservation starts in the home. Reducing where possible and reusing where possible. You know, as I said, water is a precious resource, and there are some very simple tips that people could do to change how they use water. You know, taking a shower instead of a bath. It's amazing, taking a shorter shower can save up to 10 litres of water per minute. If you need to wash your cars, use a bucket and a sponge rather than a hose, or maybe mending taps and running toilets, that the amount of water usage that happens unbeknownst to ourselves within our homes is quite amazing. You know, maybe turning off the tap when you brush your teeth or shaving, and keeping a jug of water in the fridge that's cool rather than running the tap. And you know, things like water butts, using your washing machines and dishwashers when they're full. So there's a lot that we can do in the home just on the sustainability and conservation side. I guess from a more biodiversity and innovative side, to your point, we have, you know, some of our science-led innovation within Irish Water, we're looking at things like what's called an integrated constructed wetlands, which is a natural way, or as close as natural as we can, for treating and dealing with household wastewater. So as I said, it's sustainable and it's designed to look and function in a similar way to a natural wetland. So it's environmentally friendly, and it reduces operational and maintenance costs, and it's much more biodiversity, or but much more, I guess, careful and general to the actual environment that it operates within. We actually won an award within Irish Water. We delivered this sustainable water treatment for a village in County Kildare. So they're the sort of things that we're doing on our own side to develop kind of more innovation. And one thing, the last thing I might mention in this general space is around, we have another campaign that we work with on the Think Before You Flush campaign. Again, that's another Tashka campaign. And really, it's just a simple message. Only flush the three P's down the toilet. That's pee, poo, and paper. And that's it. Keep it as simple as that. But it's trying to develop that awareness with everybody. That's some sort of the areas where I think, you know, sustainability, conservation, and a bit of biodiversity come into play.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look here at your website while you're talking, Geoffrey. So much information is available on water.ie in terms of biodiversity and conservation, sustainability, but also the practical tools as well and advice for people, because particularly this year, more than any, we're trying to save as much as we can with energy and electricity, but also conserve water as well. The number that you gave out a little bit earlier is 1800 278 278, is it?
That's exactly it, Owen. And that's, you know, if anybody needs to speak to somebody in our contact centre and our customer team, that's the number to ring. And as you rightly said, there's a real depth of information on the website that covers everything to, you know, the water services in anybody's particular area, if there's potentially any issue with it, right down to tips and tricks, how to conserve water, how to maybe identify a leak, how to deal with leaks, information on our water stewardship program, which I think you mentioned at the very outset, which is a program that we have with our business customers around how they can change how they operate. We provide training to people who are interested in attending on how they can change their operation of the business. And to your point a few moments ago, it saves water, but it saves energy as well. And you know, the overall net effect is it reduces costs for businesses. So it makes economic sense to engage in a sustainable use of water.
Great stuff. Well, Science Week running from the 13th of November till the 20th. You can get more information on water.ie and that number as well that Geoffrey gave out, 1800 278 278. Business Operations Manager in the Customer Operations Team with Irish Water, Geoffrey Burke. Geoffrey, great to talk to you and thanks for joining us.
That's great. Thanks so much, Ian.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
FM. Now, welcome back. Do keep your messages coming in, 0833 97 97 97 on the text and the WhatsApp. Now, how often do you need to get your ears checked? It's a question that most of us probably don't think about. But if you find yourself straining to hear during conversations, or if you have pain or ringing in your ears, then it is definitely time. And if you've had to turn up the radio this morning, then perhaps you might need to go and get your ears checked as well. On the line is Trevor Griffin. He's an audiologist with Chime. Good morning to you, Trevor.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
Good. Let's start off with that question then, which is a very broad question, but when and how often should we be getting our ears checked? I suppose it probably depends on age, does it?
Yeah, exactly. So it comes down to age in terms of, you know, when the variety of, or like, so the frequency of hearing tests you should be getting. So what we'd recommend in general is anyone over the age of 60 years of age that have no symptoms of hearing loss should be getting their hearing tested once every 2 years. And anyone under 60 that have minor symptoms of hearing loss, maybe get their hearing tested annually. So keep an eye on it in that sense. Ages between 40 and 60, but those ages, people are still working. So if they're working in noisy environments, there's no harm in getting it checked annually as well. So once a year for those ages. But anyone over 60 with no symptoms, I'd be saying every 2 years. If there is hearing loss there or is symptoms of hearing loss, annually is what we'd recommend there. So it's between the two in terms of age demographics as well.
Is it one of those things, Trevor, again, when it comes to certain health issues, that the sooner it's identified, the better treatment is, and, you know, the better chance people might have of prolonging their natural hearing?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions people have with hearing loss is they can leave it for 5, 10, 15 years, and when they get to a certain level where it's really bad, they can go and get their hearing tested, they can put a pair of hearing aids on their ears, and it's like turning on the light switch, off you go, and everything is normal as it was 20, 30 years ago. And that's not how it works. Basically, what you're trying to do is, when you lose your hearing and gradually start to lose your hearing over the years, and on everyone loses their hearing to a certain level from the age of about 30 anyway. You know, it's like we're living very active lifestyles, so your hearing is going to be used every day. And it's the one sense that's used all the time. Even when you're asleep, it still alerts to sounds and stuff like that. So it's over the years you're losing a little bit of hearing loss, and only becomes really obvious when you're in your later years and that you're not hearing the television correctly or you're missing conversation. And what you're actually trying to do is you're actually trying to help the brain understand the sounds, because the ears are really only a pathway for the sounds to get to your brain, so your brain can interpret the information as to what you're actually hearing. So in essence, what you're trying to do is to avoid leaving that first time of noticing there's a bit of a hearing loss or a bit of difficulty to doing something about it or acting on it. That gap is really difficult for the brain to accept those sounds back. So yes, in a sense, I would get your hearing tested, even if you don't think you have a hearing loss. It's always good to know, I'm 40 years of age, this is the baseline of my hearing, it's in really good health now, I can leave it for a couple of years and go back and say, well, compare it to the way it was a couple of years ago. At least you're keeping an eye on it and you know exactly where it is every couple of years. So the longer you leave it, the harder it is to help it as such, really.
Is there any particular reason?
Hearing deficiency over your lifetime, and it's just basically wear and tear, like your eyes. Your eyes are being used constantly, so like the majority of people are wearing glasses as well, and your hearing is no different. So every year you use your hearing, your hearing thresholds are dropping a little bit. So it's just a matter of keeping an eye on that the best you can over the years. There is hereditary issues. There is medical reasons why you might lose your hearing. But in general, it's just wear and tear over time. That there's a part of the inner ear, and it's called the cochlea. Basically, there's tiny little hair cells in there on. And what happens is those hair cells just break down and they don't respond as well as they used to when you were in your early 20s or early 30s. So the mechanism for sending that information to your brain is just been worn over time. So the information is not as strong as it once was.
Can you talk me through the hearing test or the hearing screening process? Because often when people hear they have to go and get tested, it's a bit of an effort or a bit of a rigmarole. Is it quite a simple thing to do?
It's very, very simple, yeah. So there's two things. You can either go and get a full hearing consultation or you can get a screening. A screening is probably your best bet if you've never had a hearing test before and if you're very nervous about it. A screening is, it takes less than 4 or 5 minutes. You're just listening with a pair of headphones on, listening to some frequencies. So you're listening for beeps and you're just responding when you hear the beep. And that's done over a shorter time frame compared to a larger consultation. So the bigger consultation will go into it more in depth. So it'll do two or three different tests. But there's nothing complicated, nothing scary about the whole consultation. Like any audiologist should be able to explain everything you need to do on the day. It's very simple. The directions are very, very easy to follow. And it should take no more than 5 or 10 minutes to do a consultation anyway, and then to go through all the different tests. But some tests are more complicated than others, all depending on what's wrong with the ears and stuff like that. So there is other things that you might know on the day until you actually start testing the hearing. But in general, very easy, very straightforward, and very, very simple to do.
Is that done through a GP or through hospitals, or what way do you go about booking this?
Yeah, so in general, you'd have to book with an audiologist. So you'd book with any provider that provides hearing tests. So like your GP might have some sort of test to do with a simple hearing test, but it wouldn't have the technology or the equipment to do to a broader test. So like Chime is the National Charity for Deafness and Hearing Loss. We have a range of different centres around the country who would do free hearing tests as well. And there's loads of other providers around the country who do free hearing tests as well. So it's just a matter of getting in touch with them. Maybe your local GP would know someone who they could recommend you to, who they know. They could recommend you into getting a consultation. So it's a matter of finding out your local area or what audiologist is in your area as well. But there's never an audiologist too far from anyone in any town at the moment in Ireland.
Okay, that's to do with hearing loss. Just before we let you go, Trevor, if I may, just touch on tinnitus as well, because often when we discuss hearing and ears and stuff like that, tinnitus comes up, and already we have listeners getting in touch with us just with some tips, maybe an advice. If you have that constant ringing in your ear, what would you advise people to do?
So tinnitus is one of the biggest things that we're seeing the upward trend with at the moment within Chime. So the majority of people that are coming in with tinnitus, and these people are getting younger as well. So it's not just your typical elderly person coming in with hearing problems or tinnitus. It's younger people that are coming in with this buzzing or ringing in their ears. The best thing to do with tinnitus is obviously to go to your GP first if it's something you've never spoken about, to make sure there's not pathology going on or anything wrong going on. Speak to your GP and they might recommend somewhere to go. Like the thing about tinnitus is that they don't really understand where it is or what's causing it, but there is ways of managing it and understand. Once you get it, speak to someone that understands how it actually how easy it is to manage it, you can take control of it yourself then as well. So it's a matter of learning a way to manage it yourself, whether that be, you know, relaxation techniques or whatever. There's loads of different things you can do. So what works for one person might work for the next 10, but there is loads of things out there you can actually do to help manage tinnitus. That's one of the biggest things, is once you get it under control and manage it, it's kind of easier to move forward with it then. But it's a matter of, for me, I would always recommend that if someone reports onset of tinnitus, is get to your GP first and just have a chat with them first. And then Chime are the National Charity for Deafness and Hearing Loss. But we also have loads of community relation officers around the country who help with tinnitus as well. And they're specialised in helping people with tinnitus as well. So they'd bring you in, they sit down with you, going through a consultation with you purely around tinnitus. And then we have support groups as well. So peer support is massive when it comes to tinnitus. So it's an understanding that other people are in a similar boat, and they might help you deal with it in a way that you mightn't read in a textbook or anything like that. So it's a matter of getting into somewhere where you can get a peer support groups and people that know what they're talking about and help you able to manage it. That's the most important thing.
Okay, I'm going to give out some numbers here and email addresses if people want to grab a pen and take down the numbers for Chime if you would like to get in touch with them. As Trevor said, the National Association for the Deaf charity. The number is 1800 256 257. That's 1800 256 257. You can go onto the website www.chime.ie, that's chime.ie, or email info@chime.ie, that's info@chime.ie. And Trevor Griffin with those pieces of advice and tips and tricks and how to identify the early signs and symptoms when it comes to hearing loss, and touching on tinnitus as well. He's an audiologist with Chime. Trevor, thanks for your time this morning.
No problem, Owen. Thank you very much. Take care.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, a couple of messages coming into us. One here saying Electric Ireland bill was due out on the 10th of November, took the full amount and never added the €200 discount. This listener said that they rang them, they were on hold for 41 minutes to be told they'd be refunded €200 to the bank account, but they're still waiting. So it might be worth maybe just giving them a ring again to see if there's any update. But I know sometimes people can be reluctant to do that when you've had an experience of being on hold for 41 minutes. I know another listener as well, Brendan, was getting in touch with us with some details there, or a phone number if you want to send that through to us. Brendan, we'll mention that in the next few moments. First of all though, Fianna Fáil councillor on the claim, Maynooth Municipal District, Nisha O'Carroll, is on the line. Good morning, Nisha.
Good morning, Owen.
Some of the issues that have been coming to your attention in the Maynooth area recently. First of all, you were looking for the council to enact Jake's Law within every housing estate in the municipal district. Has that not already been enacted, no?
No, it hasn't, Owen. And to listeners that aren't aware what Jake's Law is, essentially it's that the speed limit would be reduced to 30 kilometres an hour in all housing estates, I suppose in the country, but we were focusing primarily on Kildare here and the Clane Maynooth Municipal District in particular. And where this has come from, Owen, for context, is the county-wide, so through the entire county, the speed limit review was held, well, it was kind of researched over the past 2 years, but the members at full council, so that's the 40 members from across the county, rejected it in July. And the reason that we rejected it for the most part was because there was too many areas, too many roads where the speed limit was being increased. And the reason it was being increased, we were told, was basically to try and normalise it and homogenise it throughout the entire county and the country so that people would be able to recognise secondary roads and their speed, etc. But really, I suppose, you know, as I said, the reason was members couldn't accept the increase in certain areas, particularly where there was accidents in the past. Now, what happened subsequently was the council said that they essentially linked Jake's Law with the county-wide speed limit review. So it meant that afterwards we learned that we couldn't enact it. Now, I found this quite cynical, to be honest. I can't see why we can't enact Jake's Law as a standalone policy throughout Kildare, and I focused on the municipal district here. Now, the council came back and they said, look, we sent this to a regional speed limit appeals board, but I was looking for more context and they couldn't give it to me in the meetings. So I was pushing it for a vote to try and progress this, and they said, look, please hold off. So they're going to come back to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District at the next meeting and give us a proper response into, I suppose, the questions I had. And if I'm not happy with it then, I'm going to push forward for a vote to have it enacted in Maynooth and Clane, that municipal district, and hopefully then that'll seep out into the rest of the county as well. So, long story short, it hasn't been passed yet. Bureaucracy is the answer behind it, and I'm trying to get through all of that.
All right, an area that you know quite well outside the Maria Villa estate. Are works being prepared on the Dunboyne Road there in Maynooth?
Yeah, so outside the front of my own estate, actually, and a lot of people were unaware because there was a separate planning application for the other side of the site, right, for additional apartments, etc. But on the Dunboyne Road, essentially, it's going on the initial plan. So there's, I think it's 40 houses and two apartment blocks, which is great. You know, there's going to be more housing and rental property available to the community and to people around the area. So that's going ahead, and yeah, delighted to see that progressing.
Are Kildare County Council aware of further planned developments in the Curtin Retail Park in Maynooth? You wanted to know.
Yeah, so the Curtin Retail Park in Maynooth is where Tesco is, basically. And there's a huge new Costa being built. And look, it's well and good having, you know, kind of new coffee shops, etc. It's more employment. But the danger is, and the fear I always have is, if we look at our towns and villages across the county, you know, we have a lot of dereliction in some towns. And basically, I think we should be making a policy not to encourage out-of-town development, so that we should be encouraging businesses to invest, if they're going to invest, in our towns, in the centre, to encourage life in our towns and villages, and to ensure that they're at a walkable distance. You know, we're talking about kind of, you know, the green economy and kind of things being closer to home, etc. You know, if things are in town centre, for the most part, it means we can walk or cycle to it, whereas if it's out of town, it's that little bit more difficult, and people are more likely to get in their cars. So the council said they're not aware of any more developments. I've seen there's some work going on, which looks like there might be something happening. But for the most part, I suppose the message is to prospective business owners to please look at investing in our town centres and villages before looking out of town.
Yeah, just back on the Jake's Law issue that we were talking about, JD in Clane has been in touch to say 30 kilometres per hour in a housing estate is far too fast. It should be reduced to 20 kilometres, I'm sure. Would you agree with that, or do you think 30 kilometres is enough?
Look, we have to go with the parameters we've been set. You know, right. The debate has been had in the Shannon and in the Dáil. You know, I think there's lots to be said for 20 kilometres per hour. I certainly wouldn't disagree with that. But, you know, I think the first port of call is to try and get to 30. Because, you know, and people are aware of it. They'll see it in their own estates. People flying it. And to be honest, it's actually shameful the way people carry on when they're driving through states, and outside schools and creches as well. It's actually bizarre.
It's a national directive as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The speed limit, yeah. So that comes from national headquarters and is then passed down through the various local authorities. Finally then, Nisha, something that you haven't mentioned before. This is the community centre in Maynooth. You've been on about this for quite a while. Are you ever going to see a planning process start with the community centre?
Well, Owen, I will keep going on about it and going on about it until we see some progress. And, you know, that's one thing I commit to my community anyway, as long as I'm involved in public life. Look, the council have come back, and in fairness, what they have said is, so basically, Maynooth is applying for this thing, or have been designated for URDF, Urban Regeneration Developmental Funds. Basically, it's money from the government to regenerate town centres. And that money is being really focused around the harbour area. So what that means is, you know, the entire upgrade of the harbour fields, also the permeability onto Parson Street. But what includes as well is actually planning for a community centre where the existing fire station is, and obviously there's council offices there. Now, bear in mind that the fire station have put in for planning application up at Lidl in Maynooth, but nothing can obviously be done while there's tenants and residents. But it's actually getting plans put together so that when the fire brigade do move, that we're ready to, I suppose, to act on it, and we're ready to actually start building a community centre. But it'll actually be a kind of a cultural quarter nearly, and there's plans, we're looking at plans as well to include, let's say, some housing for elderly people, other community initiatives as well. So look, it's very hopeful. It's a big aspiration, we'll say. But the whole thing is, and what I need to keep doing, and as you said yourself, is to keep banging that drum, because it needs to be at the forefront of decision makers' minds in Kildare County Council, and similarly in the department and in government when we're looking for funding as well.
All right. Fianna Fáil councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, that is Nisha O'Carroll. Thanks for getting in touch with us, Nisha, and good morning to you. Now, another message has come in regarding the ESB bills, and one here says, I got my ESB bill and it's estimated. I thought when you have a smart meter, there would be no more estimated bills. So again, might be worth getting in touch with ESB to find out what the story is there. But thanks for the message.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
On the line with us this morning for Crime Time is Sergeant Ralph Holmes of Athy Garda Station. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Owen.
A number of issues that we're going to deal with now around the county, starting off in Selbridge and a burglary at Old Town Mill in the Selbridge area.
That's right, Owen. This occurred between 7.30 in the morning and 4.30 in the afternoon on Thursday, the 10th of November last. Entry was gained to the rear of a house, a residential property, and some cash and jewellery were taken. But no description in relation to any suspects, but anyone who was in the area at the time might have seen something suspicious if they could contact Selbridge Gardaí on 01-6288-222.
From Selbridge, we go to Newbridge. There was a burglary and a theft there at the Rosebery Hill area.
That's right. This was a house that was broken into and keys for a vehicle taken. Now, this vehicle was then accessed and a power tool and a torch was taken from the vehicle, a van that was parked outside the house. The culprit in this was actually disturbed by the injured party and fled on foot. So it might have been conspicuous to anyone in the area at the time. This occurred at 5.15 in the morning, on Sunday morning, the 13th, just gone, in the Rosebery Hill area of Newbridge. Any information on that to Newbridge Gardaí on 045-431212.
We're going to stay along the lines of burglaries next, Ralph, and we're going to claim this time around Abbey Park.
That's right. Again, last Sunday, the 13th, this time at 6.15 in the morning, entry was gained to a house through an open front window, and a laptop was taken during this incident. No sight or description of any of the culprits involved, but if anyone was in the area and saw anything, if they can contact Clane Gardaí on 045-868262.
There was a couple of car break-ins then at the Church of the Irish Martyrs in Ballycane. This was on Saturday around Mass time, maybe?
That's right. So during Mass time there, between 7:30 and 8:15 on Saturday evening there, the 12th, there's two vehicles had windows smashed. One had contents taken from it. Any Mass goers that were around the area at the time, or anyone passing by that church, they may have seen this take place or someone involved in it. Any information on that, if it's contact Nace Gardaí on 045-884300.
Okay, that was at the Church of the Irish Martyrs in Ballycane. Then on Monday morning, an attempted theft of a catalytic converter down in your area of Athy.
That's right. Monday morning, the 14th, there very early at 12:30 in the Holland Avenue area of Athy. Two men were disturbed trying to take the catalytic converter from a vehicle by the vehicle owner. Now, they fled the area, and unfortunately, we've no further description in relation to them. Inquiries are still ongoing at this early stage. But if anyone was in the area around that time, it might have been quite conspicuous seeing someone working on a car at that time in that area. If they can contact us here at Athy Gardaí on 059-863-4210.
And the final incident then that you have, Ralph, is a robbery of a shop. And again, we're going back to the Rosebery area of Newbridge.
Yes, this is an incident on Friday evening last, the 11th, at 5 to 6 p.m. In the evening there at Rosebery Stores in Newbridge. Quite a shocking incident. A shop assistant there was threatened at knife point by the person involved. Some of the money was taken, but thankfully there were no injuries to anyone involved. The culprit involved in this was hooded, dressed all in black, but he was wearing very distinctive orange gloves that would have definitely stood out if someone saw him running from the scene around that time. Any information on that, if they can contact Newbridge Gardaí again on 045-431212.
Okay, with those range of crimes, Sergeant Ralph Holmes at Athy Garda Station, thanks for your time this morning, Ralph. And just before we finish up on Crime Time, to remind you, we had this in our news yesterday, that Naas Gardaí have issued an appeal for witnesses following a fire in an outhouse at the Kill International Equestrian Centre. Gardaí are investigating suspected arson on the evening of Sunday, 6th of November. Multiple fire services and Gardaí were alerted to the blaze at the site after 8 p.m. that evening in one of the outbuildings. The fire was extinguished a short time later and no injuries were reported. It was believed to have broken out at approximately 7 p.m. on that Sunday evening. The site has been earmarked to house up to 348 people who are fleeing the war in Ukraine. On the previous Friday, as we discussed here on this show, on the 4th of November, local residents held a meeting at Kill GAA alongside local politicians, highlighting their frustration at not being consulted about the proposal. Anyone with information or who may be able to assist Gardaí with the investigation is asked to contact Naas Garda Station on 045 884 300 or the Garda Confidential Line, and that's 1800 666 111.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas, PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.